This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome to Tits and Tricks. I'm Loz, and if you haven't already gathered, I hate to say it, but I'd consider myself a recovering control freak who's trying to find some balance between personal life and work. Today, I'm going to be talking about the question that I'm sure all mums at some point ask themselves, which is how do I effectively balance work and family life? This is a topic I've been thinking about a lot lately, and it always seems to me to be a bit vague and woo-woo. So it's either all about self-care and carving out more time for yourself, which I find super difficult, or it's about succumbing to the fact that balance is near impossible. Sometimes it's more about work, sometimes it's more about family. And what I found is that it really comes back to you feeling balanced. So there's not a universal approach to everyone, no surprises there. From those people that I've spoken to and from the women that Lou has interviewed via Ready or Not, it seems to tie back into boundaries, which I'll admit I find really hard to set and even harder to implement. But the more I do it, the better I feel and the easier I find to communicate with others. Let's start with boundaries. Break boundaries into the following. So you've got your work hours and then you've got your home office boundaries. Your work hours, establish and stick to specific work hours to prevent work from encroaching on your family time. I'm one of those people that I would like to say has a hard 5 p.m. deadline, which I never do. But I think it's more important to have a chunk of time you do spend with your family. So if you're a workaholic like me, if you own your own business in particular, carve out time that is family allocated time. Usually that might look like 7 till 8 a.m., depending on what time your kids get up. Or perhaps it's 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. and then you get back online. I'm not saying clock off at 5 p.m. It would be nice if everybody could do that. That would be great, but I'm realistic and that's not the situation for everybody. But set some time aside for what your work hours are. If you're working from home or you're working for yourself and you don't have an office, create a dedicated workspace and communicate its boundaries to family members. I live in a reasonably small house, so my office per se when I'm working from home is the kitchen table. If on those days I have a sick child or I have work that needs to be done while my kids are still home, I'll move to a room in the house, I'll close the door and I'll specifically say to my partner, this is my workspace, please don't let the kids in. Or this is my workspace, I'm going to have 1 hour of like dedicated time just to get through this stuff and then I'll come back out. If you don't communicate it, it just feels like you've got a random space in the house that everybody has access to and can come in at any time. And it also feels like your entire house is essentially your work. So try figure out a space, even in small houses like my own, where you can be like, okay, this is where I do my best work. And the rest of the house is like where I take time to cool off and not think about the enormous to-do list that I've got. Planning. Not everyone is as planned and structured as me. I'm well aware of that. But I have found daily and weekly planning using a physical planner or a digital calendar to schedule work tasks, family activities, and personal time, so beneficial. Fridge magnets, I hate to say it, are my favorite. Organizing Life Beautifully is another great company that you can Google with some awesome calendars at an affordable price point. Fill them out, stick to them, time block, your life will change. The other thing to do would be prioritize your tasks. So focus on high priority tasks, both at work and at home. I feel like it's easy to do it at work because you know what deadlines you've got and maybe what management really expects of you. But at home, it can be quite difficult to do that. So write down like the essentials and the non-essentials. The non-essentials may look like skipping swimming this week because you're too overwhelmed. It may look like allocating 20 minutes to do reading time at the end of the night. Like whatever it might look like, whatever it might be for your household, try time block it. And plan it. I spoke about this on the last episode of Tits and Tricks, but utilize flexible work arrangements. If you don't already have them in place, ask your employer. There's a whole episode, 13 minutes in fact, on that. Listen to it. Ask the question. If possible, try to arrange to work from home 1 day a week. yes, you'll probably actually be doing longer hours at work, but it allows you the space to also do the little things on your lunch break that you wouldn't be able to do at work, which may include meal prepping for yourself, having a nutritious lunch, doing a load of washing. Not that I'm suggesting that that's the be all and end all, but sometimes it can help you feel like it's off your plate after hours. Delegate and share responsibilities. This is a big one. Divide household and child care responsibilities with your partner or other family members. Have the conversation. There is this great online, is it an app? Is it a website? I don't know what it is, but it's essentially like fair play game cards, and it gives you questions that you can ask your partner. It goes through cards. You can grab out your computer. You can do it on your phone and just have a mini conversation around who's doing what. I found it really helpful to actually start the conversation. It didn't feel like it was coming from a bad place because I was using this tool as a way to facilitate it, as opposed to me saying, I do this, I do this, I do this. What are you doing? Sometimes I want to say, but I don't. This website, and there's an app called Gottman Card Decks, is great. You can even use it on a date night. Sometimes when you run out of conversation and you don't want to talk about your kids, it's an awesome conversation starter, and it actually does make your life easier. Outsource tasks. There is nothing wrong with outsourcing, and it can look so different to different families. It could be teeing up with someone from kinder and each of you doing a drop-off per week with the kids. It could be ordering HelloFresh once a month. It could be getting a cleaner. I work hard, and I consider outsourcing an act of self-care for me. It gives me back time to spend on other areas of my life that I have more of a vested interest in, i.e. going for a walk and listening to a podcast. There can be a lot of shame around outsourcing and a lot of guilt associated with it. Yes, sometimes it can cost money, and that money isn't disposable income that you have, but it doesn't always have to. It can be relying on friends, asking family members for help, teeing up play dates with kinder kids because you think to yourself, do you know what? This weekend, I've got my kids all weekend, and it would be easier for me to spend that time with a child that's going to entertain my kid, meaning that I have to do less hands-on parenting. Little things like that, when you frame it in a way that sounds beneficial, outsourcing really isn't that bad. Okay, we're getting to self-care. Schedule regular personal time for yourself to relax, to exercise, or to pursue hobbies. Here is an example for you. The other day, I woke up early. I went for a walk by myself. Did I love it? Yes. Was it raining? Also, yes. Did I feel better after doing it? Yes. If you don't have the time to do that, personal care could look like reading a book at the end of a night. It could look like listening to a podcast on your commute to work. It doesn't have to be a huge cost or a huge time stressor. It can just be something that you enjoy doing that you're factoring in. Stress management, I still haven't found a solution to that. Some people love calm, some people love meditating, some people love mindful practices. I am actually going to try Breath House in Melbourne over the coming weeks, so I will let you know what that is like. It is meant to be a really immersive breathwork experience and something a bit different. So I'm carving out an hour of my time to give that a go. Highly strung, so hopefully that has some effect. Communication. The other thing that's really helped me in terms of work-life balance is not only communicating it with your partner, which seems like an obvious, but it's also communicating with your manager. So keep the lines of communication open with your manager. If you've got a weekly one-on-one, use 5 minutes of that time just to discuss what's on your plate holistically. So that may look like, look, just to let you know, last week I had a sick child. This week I'm playing catch up, so I'm a little bit behind. In my experience, the more open you can be about what's on your plate, the less it's going to get added to it, which is overall going to reduce your stress and give you a bit more of that balance. With communication with your partner, I mean, it's an obvious one. Most people are chatting to their partner daily. But if you do need to schedule in that time for like a weekly family meeting, does it sound naff slightly? Is it effective? Yes. I use that time to no joke calendar plan. So what's on for the week? What meals are we doing? What have the kids got on? What extracurricular activities have they got? What things do I want to do? What time does Rye want to spend to himself focusing on things that he wants to do to alleviate stress? And what stuff can we do together? Apps that are going to help you with this. Google Calendar, Cozy Family Organizer, To-Do List. All of them are free. All of them are excellent. I've used one or the other at various times. Can recommend them all. Really intuitive, really quick, really simple. I am all about efficiency, so productivity tools i.e. apps, for managing tasks, setting reminders, and organizing schedules are a must in my house and at work. These apps that I've found really helpful that are free, aside from your family organizer apps, which I've mentioned just before, are AnyList. So this allows you to have a grocery list that's shared, so you can add stuff to it. So it means that the grocery shopping doesn't necessarily have to fall on you. Mealime is also another app. What you can do is create meal plans and generate grocery lists based on the selected recipes for the week. Reduces time, reduces spend at the supermarket, and it also means that you're not wasting a heap of time trying to figure out in your mind what to cook that week. The last one is seek support and resources. Chat with your girlfriends about, or guy friends, I should say, or family members or extended network, whoever it may be that you feel comfortable talking to, about what's on your plate. Don't let it build up to a point where you have such bad rage or anxiety that it's crippling and you feel like you cannot even find equilibrium between work and family life. You don't want to get to a point where you're like, this is too hard. I'm going to quit my job and just go to Tahiti. It sounds like a nice idea in theory, but probably not sustainable long term. There are always, at larger organizations, employee assistance programs. In my experience, no one uses them. If you work for a smaller organization, they may not have the access to fund programs like this. Suggest if they can reach out to companies like Calm and get discounted corporate rates for you to then utilize if it's something that's of interest. So many companies, even if they're not paying for it, can get reduced rates on mental health apps and then pass these on to their employees, and maybe it comes out of your wage every week, or maybe you just pay for it at a different, or maybe you just pay for it at a discounted rate. You may as well put it forward to your company, because the likelihood is there's other women who are also looking for support and they just need someone to champion it. The other thing that I would say when it comes to work-life balance that I see so many mums not do is celebrate the small wins. I think because we're all so busy and there's a lot going on, it can feel like Groundhog Day sometimes, and it can feel like maybe you're working too much, or maybe you're not spending enough time with your kids, or maybe you're spending too much time with your kids and you're not working enough. Like, it's just this constant dichotomy of what am I doing to find balance, and taking a step back and celebrating those small wins at both work and home on a daily basis can put that work-life balance concept into perspective. You may get to the end of a Monday and be like, I smashed it today. I achieved so many things at work. And then perhaps on a Thursday, you're like, I'm nailing it at motherhood today. My kids are nourished. They're fed. They're happy. No one's had a tantrum. We don't talk about it. Like, we tend to talk about wins in terms of like big achievements that may include like, I got my next promotion, or I organized a sick birthday party for my kids. But it's all the little things that roll up to that that should be celebrated to give you a sense of achievement along the way. So don't forget to do that. Finally, I will say, for me, balance comes and goes. It's not constant. If you feel the same, that's okay. Balance for me looks like takeaway one night, healthy meals the next, working until 3 p.m. one day, working until midnight the next, and being okay with it. I use a structured planner to carve out time to make sure that I am getting personal time and work time. If I don't have a structured plan for the week, it doesn't necessarily need to be for the month. It could even be for the day. It depends what your personality is like. If I don't have that structure, I'm going to miss out on one or the other. I'm going to miss out on doing work that needs to get done, or I'm going to miss out on spending time with my kids, or I'm going to miss out on time spent to have some self-care. Hopefully these apps and some of these small tips on establishing routines, talking about sharing responsibilities, navigating flexible work arrangements, and prioritizing what's urgent and what can kind of slide does help you maintain some form of work-life balance. But just know, we're all doing our best. We're all trying to find out the optimum way to carve out time in every aspect of our life. And sometimes it's possible, sometimes it's not. That's okay. I'm sure that if you're listening to this, you're actively trying to better manage a work-life balance. So you're already one step in the right direction. Chat to you next week.